So we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we realize as the prophet preached to us so many times that this is what he had in mind to get across, just that you were here in the form of the Holy Spirit, visiting the Gentiles as you were obligated to do, doing the same things that you did back there 2,000 years ago, proving that you can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and not just by the feeling, but by us ourselves, and can have a response from you, natural display of the power of God in whatever the need may be, to remit transgressions, to heal bodies, even, Lord, to the place we know that you healed maimed, and we realize that can happen amongst us today even so. Though the prophet isn't here, we know that you are here, that same one leading us into the millennium. That's been told us by a prophet, knowing he wouldn't lie. We realize that never before how under the influence of the Spirit that he was to bring us this word so wonderfully. And we thank you, Lord, for it, so we know that there's nothing remiss. There's nothing out of time. Everything is just exactly right, even as we are right with you, and, Lord, by your grace, right with each other. We realize that perfection has come, Lord, and it's a complete finishing off. It's a complete conclusion, and it's going to be, Lord, a presentation of which we are part of that presentation, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. May we study your word, and may the word be rich to us. May it actually feed us, O God. May it become a part of us. May the life in it be released to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and you may be seated. Now, this is lesson number 7, or message number 7, on perfect faith, delivered by Brother Branham at the Branham Tabernacle. And in this message, perfect faith, Brother Branham used the scripture in Mark 11, you're all aware of that, wherein Christ tells the apostles of mountain-moving faith. Almost all Christians have taken this illustration to mean the removal of problems, no matter how great they are, and they could be terribly, terribly great. Trouble is that most people stop at the miraculous, but nonetheless, theologically, scripturally, most people just look at this, and they sing songs such as, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, and so on. So, basically, it's looked at as a great problem solver. True. Now, no doubt this is true, but in Brother Branham's experience, it went beyond dispelling a problem or solving a problem, or simply getting an answer to a need, for it thrust him into the realm of revealing God in this hour in his creative power, and thereby confirming two things, both of which dealt with him, Brother Branham, but can and must be used of us in what we call the trickle-down principle, or the principle applied is the same, though not in the magnitude or to the extent and nature of the prophet. Number one, God recognized the prophet's position, which caused the prophet to recognize it. Now, that's not wrong. That's 100% correct. God recognized the prophet's position, which caused the prophet to recognize it. Let's take a look at that so we know we're on perfectly scriptural ground before we get into Brother Branham's message. Because this is what he said, recognizing your position. Jeremiah 1 and 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now watch. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, I am a child. Now, this is a great man of God, and this is not necessarily humility, although it is humility, but it's kind of stupid. In retrospect, not at the time, but in retrospect, this man's arguing with God. That sure shows the grace of God. But the Lord said, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Now, that's a tough one right there. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. There's your mountain. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and plant. Now, God recognized the prophet. And this caused the prophet to recognize himself. Right? Okay, you understand. This is the principle. Recognition. So it caused the man to recognize himself. Now, that's the truth also of Moses. If you want to go to Exodus 3, and Moses is a good one, and we read, I'll find it here somewhere next to the third chapter. Since I can't find it by reading Genesis, the third chapter, then we'll get in just a minute here. All right. Verse 4, after Moses turned aside, God called out of the bush, in the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is the holy ground. Moreover, I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he is afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry for reason, their taskmaster, and I know their sore. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them out of the land unto good land, and large unto land flowing of milk and honey, unto the place of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, Moses is recognized by God, authenticated as deliverer. And so Moses now recognizes who he is, because no doubt he had an understanding stirring in his soul. The third one we can look at is John the Baptist in the book of Luke. And this is the testimony concerning John the Baptist, identification before he is even conceived. And the angel said unto Zechariah, verse 15, for John shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall fill the Holy Ghost even before he's born. This is for his mother's womb. And many children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, that's the Lord God of Israel, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, the prudent one. In other words, what is prudent? God would do what is prudent, the right thing, shedding blood and so on. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Notice, the people that are already prepared of God must be made ready. Now that's something that people can't understand for this hour, but it's true, you all know about that. All right, then John the Baptist himself tells, he said, I wouldn't know who it was except the one who talks to me, the pillar of fire, told me the one upon whom you see the Holy Ghost descending, that is the one. So all right, you'll see in all these cases that God recognized the position of these men, which in turn caused them to recognize it, to know who they were. Number two, it placed William Branham in the scriptural fulfillment of his position, even as it did Moses. Moses the deliverer, William Branham the prophet, John the forerunner. William Branham was not the forerunner. His message was the forerunner, although the man and message is identical. God doesn't use the wind, the sun, or the rain. He uses the man. But William Branham was not told by God, you are the forerunner. As many people try to say at this hour, they want to twist it. Why? I don't know. It is a message. Because I talked to Brother Branham. When he said, Brother Bailey, said, you want to tell you're getting something wrong on the introduction. I said, what is it, Brother Branham? Well, he said, it is neither me or my ministry that foreruns the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my message. I said, all right, you mean as John the Baptist was the true forerunner. John the Baptist is a personality, absolutely as a person, was a forerunner. You are not. Neither is a ministry a forerunner. But it is a message. So we bypass the man and bypass the ministry. We are looking at message. It's pretty well my words. He said, now you got it. So look, unless William Branham's a liar, which he isn't, I have no time for foolishness. It is the message. So William Branham was the Seventh Church Age messenger, absolutely identified in this hour by God himself. And so therefore that structured his position of faith. So we're looking at something here which structures your faith. And that's what Brother Branham said. All right.
It placed William Branham in the scriptural fulfillment of his position, even as it did Moses and John the Baptist, and especially Jesus Christ, as Brother Branham spoke of him. He said, look, the scripture speaks of me. And we are going to use scripture shortly. I am identified. Show me one place I have not fulfilled it. See, all right. So Brother Branham is speaking then concerning this chapter 11 in the book of Mark, and he's talking about the mountain being moved. So he says at the top of page 17, see, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. Now watch trickle down. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. And he makes a little comment. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Now, look at the thought there. You know it is done. It is already over with. In other words, this is a reverse, or this is what we do according to what God has done for us. In other words, God imputes to us righteousness. And in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, it says that he who knew no sin had become a sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. The thought of imputation, the thought of definitely ascribing to us that which at the point is even now is nebulous in this particular sense, you cannot put your hand on it. There's nothing that you can do about it. You believe it. And therefore, you have taken the stand that absolutely I am righteous. With the righteousness of God, I will even go so far as to make the bold statement, whether anybody likes it or not, and I cannot prove it. The devil hates it, and I can't say I like it, but it's true, so I'll say it. I am the righteousness of God. All right. That's what you and I do toward God when we believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see what I'm saying? We impute to God. We give back to God in imputation. We say the faithful God. And He is faithful who promised. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is definitely composed with all the illustrations and the principal doctrines in order to make us to see we can say and give back to God the same imputation He gave us, the same honor. Because He said, if you don't honor me, I will not honor you. He tells you that. And he that lightly esteems me, I will lightly honor. And he that turns from my word, even his prayer, is going to be an abomination. So therefore, there is an identification here. The identification in this respect, as Brother Branham said, it's already over with. Now, what I said about imputation of righteousness is absolutely proven in the Word of Almighty God, chapter 8. And nobody can get by this one. We know that all things work together for good, verse 28. And then it gets on, it says, 29, for whom he did foreknow. Now this, according to the purpose of God, all things are going to work together for good. Now what? What he says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, now then he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, then he glorified. Now it shows you right there. Now, every one of these steps, previous to glorification, is an imputation to you. And you impute back to God and say, yes, Lord, that's 100% because you said it. And like Job, you can scream, I will see him in this flesh and stand upon this earth in the latter day. Now, that's what you're looking at. See? Now, faith can bring us to that position. In other words, we have within us the power, and we have within us the Holy Ghost to spark it, to bring it to that place. Now let's keep reading. Now watch. He said to us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. Now of course we know the word abide means to go on. It means to stand fast. It means to go on being, to keep on. It means to stick with it. It means submit to. That's what it says. Now, you can ask what you will, it'll be done if you abide. Now watch what he said. then recognize your position in the Scripture as a believer. Now, look, the thing is this. We can stand back and say, all right, Brother Branham had it good. God came in a pillar of fire. I wish you'd be there sometime and saw what I saw. And you wouldn't want the pillar of fire. You look like a hunted animal. If you think it's all roses, I've said for many, many years, not knowing what I was saying, if God came in this room, we'd hide under the rug. I mean, you know, people treat God too casually. We have never learned true sincerity, true humility, and understood what it is to stand in the presence of Almighty God. So we could say, well, it's all right for Brother Branham because we'll still take our stand that it was easier for him than for us because, boy, at least he didn't get scared. Now, do you know what I've often told you? Teaching is based on two principles. You make people remember by making them laugh, or you hit them so hard they're afraid to forget. Now, believe me, God is no laughing matter. So you get hit so hard, you're afraid to forget. See? Really, people get too casual. All right, you say, well, Brother Branham got to hit so hard. So therefore, he would certainly recognize more than I, and that I'm obligated to recognize. That's not true. All of these things the Bible says concerning faith are examples to you and me. So therefore, Brother Brown stood here in that position, perfectly relaxed. Why? Because he knew what the Holy Spirit was doing under those conditions. But other times when he visibly appeared, he would not know what he was going to do. And the point is it was a blessing or a rebuke? For God says, see what I come with. Shall I come with blessing or rebuke? God has two mountains, Abel and Gerizim, one for blessing, one for cursing. What's God going to do? It's not just the easiest thing to fall into the hands of the living God that we all got to do. So, what we see here, and what we know of the dynamism and the influence of God on a prophet, the shattering experiences within the man's soul, and his spirit, and his body, and his mind. And what we saw manifested in those great and tremendous acts were examples for you and me to understand. God does this, and he's doing it for you and for me. Because listen, everything that God identified the prophet for, and everything we saw in identification, and every single thing pointed to was salient to the point that God wanted to bring across. There is a message that you are to believe in. So therefore, when you hear this message and see how it was brought and understand it, you can take the principles, I don't care what, and turn them right into your benefit in divine healing. Putting food on your table and clothes on your back, hair on your head. Yes, there's an old king over in Sweden years ago. I forget, Bolgius his name was. No, Bolgius was the man that prayed for the sick. And the king, you know, Bolgius didn't even know who the king was. When the king saw, this was many, many years ago in the early Pentecost, and when the king saw people getting miracles, he said, you think God could put hair on a bald man's head? He said, yes, certainly he could do it on a bald man. Or was it Bolgius turned and said, God can even put hair in this bald man's head? No, I think that was it, not even known as the king of Sweden sitting here. Or he got hair in his head. I'll never forget a young man I met down there in Florida. He was under the ministry of the late Dr. Garn. Outstanding minister. Here was a man in Mesa's cancer. Absolutely dying. No hope. A Baptist minister. One day lying in bed, he said, oh God, he said, if you were only, he was ahead of his time. If you were only here, he said. And he said, I could touch you. I'd be well. And the voice said, you couldn't touch me. You couldn't get to me. There's no way he could have got to him. But he said, I'm here to heal you anyway, regardless. And he said, the coils of the bedspring got hot to his touch. As the power of God searched his body. He got out of bed and dressed himself. He had a housekeeper. He was a bachelor. He had even nurse. His bed fat. She couldn't figure it. She said, woman, he said, fry me some bacon and some corn pone. And he said, I want some buttermilk. He said, oh God, see, poor Dr. Gar, he's out of his head now. He's going to die. He slugged and swilled her all down, felt like a minion, asked for more. He said, bring me some branch water, like Brother Brandon said. Bring me some branch. You know, little branch out there. Creek. Man went to India. Great healing ministry. All right. We're looking at the fact that these things in the Bible, what Brother Branham is saying, are relevant to you and me and not to the ministers themselves. It is God's way of dealing with us. So, all right, what's he saying? Then, recognize your position in the Scripture, and what are you in the Bible? A believer. Why? Because you believe and accept this, that this is your life. This is the conduit of your life, because the life is in the Word. So now what we're looking at then is the constant application of our days to this message of all the facets and all the intricate channels, not so intricate, but the channels that lie in there, and those channels are literally boats bearing us. Those good carrots that Brother Branham saw stored up. The beets, the fruit, the apples, and all those things. In other words, supplying us our needs. Just as the Scripture says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. So, here's what he's telling us. I have been positioned, and I am authenticated. The authority of God is upon me to tell you people, you sitting here, and believe me, you are believers. Therefore, you can have whatever is in the Word of God as a promise, and what God whispers to your heart. Or lets you know what you can have. I threw that in there because that is true. Because in the Bible it doesn't say, if you pray for a car, you'll get a car. But car comes under anything. I forget, I told you the time I was praying Monday night before. I was in the Baptist church many years ago now. 30 years ago or so. Yeah, 30 years ago. It is. Long time. And anyway, that's longer than that. Anyway, I needed a car to go on. I had got a car. I was going to go on the road. Well, I didn't have the car at that time. That's another prayer I was thinking of. So I prayed and wanted the car. And the Lord said, I was complaining. The Lord said, you can have it. And I felt cheap. See, I'm here. I'm trying to bamboozle God. I'm trying to storm heaven. I'm trying to work up a good case. No case. Anything in my name? You ever feel like a jerk at times? You can feel like a jerk before God. He doesn't make you. He doesn't whomp you on the head or anything. He recognizes our frames are dust. Oh God, what dust brought out of the garbage bin? See, where'd your body get from? Well, I think you might got mine out of the city dump. Where'd you get your brains? Well, that came out of the cesspool in the first earliest stages of decomposition. He understands our frame is dust. I didn't get any rebuke. He just didn't say he couldn't have it. And I got a car, just like that. Then I had my car supposed to go on the road. So I'm grumping. I didn't go on the road, but I got bills and debt. You know, people better be careful how they go on the road. You better know what you're doing. Or you'll find you get off the road, too. I put about 30 years in. Tough. So what about my car? I need money to pay. You'll get it. $48 ahead of $27 million. That's not in the Bible. They had donkeys and horses and camels. I never liked horses that well. I'm not used to donkeys and camels. I would abhor. Yeah. You know, Dr. Kenyon got me going to get my first car. On signpost to the road of success. He said, don't borrow somebody's car. Get one of your own. I did. Had one ever since. Sometimes two. Sometimes three. I'll get back to one. I prefer one. I'll borrow your truck. Yeah. So, we are established as believers. I am a believer, therefore I believe. William Branham, I am a prophet, therefore I prophesy. Not little prophet now. He's a word prophet. Okay. Recognize your position in the Scripture. What is your position in the Scripture? Well, I think I'm part of the hand. Who said so? Well, I think I should be part of the eye. Who said so? You know, unless you're part of a five-fold ministry, you've got one rough time figuring anything out. Because you know what? You may figure too high. Little fraggy. Or you may figure too low because you're too humble. Do you think? How do you know? You know the best you can do? Male and female. The best you can do. And then do what comes naturally in Christ. Is to love, be kind, instruct, witness. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that somehow you'll be doing certain things more than other certain things. That'll be your ministry. Some people love to give. Let's look at that. Hey, we're never going to get through this for the next 2 years. I wanted to get, that's exaggeration, that's a lie. I was going to get this done by next Saturday and Sunday night. Forget it. I'm going to go on a vacation anyway. I might as well tell you. I'm trying to get away for a few days. I love getting away for a few days. I get feeling so much better. I miss you all, but of course, if we sit around like this, I could say it wouldn't go anywhere. Who's ready for church 7 days a week? All right. 12th chapter of Romans. And it says here that everybody's different. The fourth verse, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. Every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And you see, you've got grace to do it. You know that the very things that you're doing because you love the Lord, you've been given grace to do it, and you wouldn't do it normally? Ha! I think of some of you guys, some of the men, you work yourselves to death for people. And people, and I'll even say, hey, you know, I think that Bill Graham's nuts. The way he works, why didn't he do something for himself? Work for you. He's got grace to do it. You get a lot of rewards. The energy he spends down here, you like to have so much energy in the millennium, you run circles around us guys. I have a hard job finding them. Serves us right. Serves some of you folk right too if you let him get all the. If your John's supposed to do it, Brother Brand said, if John doesn't do it, George step right in. Bill take over. Yeah. I'll be nice to the guys that are nice in this church. Well, there's all, you're all nice. I told you this morning, love y'all. But I tell you what, I'm going to give honor where honor is due when people exert themselves, when they put an effort out. Come on now, there's everybody can. Now there's a bent. Now there's a bent, you know, and if I see these other bents coming along, I say, why, you see, there's a bent, but there's also some people are going to have the same bent, but one guy can let down and the other guy do it all. You're following us. I'm not going back on what I said this morning before this message. Don't think for 1 minute. I haven't got this all figured out because I know what I'm talking about. So in other words, I think there's people more than just, you know, one or two people in church. Now that doesn't mean everybody's not in the same category Bill is. I'm just using over the years because Bill has done so much work in this church and worked and worked and worked in his family that I think if people don't understand and honor that, I think maybe it's time I just put it on the blackboard. So I've done it. All right. Good. Others are doing a great job too. But let's watch the bent here now. So don't get bent up double, get the B-E-N-T right. All right. Having then gifts and this grace. Now look, there's a gift of prophecy, and you prophesy according to the grace given you, and according to your measure of faith. Now that's a tricky one, but it simply means this. If you really have that gift, you won't be making a bunch of foolish errors and saying things that don't come to pass because you've got the faith that's going to absolutely cause you to say that, and the thing will come to pass. You've got the grace that means you'll put yourself on the spot. And I might as well tell you something else about it, too. You won't even know how it's going to come. It'll just be there, and you'll say it. I've done it many times. Not once, but many times. It'll come to pass. Now, what you're doing, Nancy, normally you just draw back and say, well, you know, if that's the Lord, like I do, it'll come, but it's not, well, it won't. I've done it in public time after time. I've done it privately with people sitting there. Doesn't fail. That's not my ministry. No, I'm not ministry. Little gifts, though. All right, or ministry, wait on a ministry, or he that teaches on teaching. Now, that's my ministry right there in teaching. That's a fivefold. But notice to this point, where do you find the gift ministering anywhere in a fivefold or any place else? You can't find it. Ministry means doing a service. Or he that exhorts an exhortation. He that gives will do simplicity. See, that's what I mentioned a while ago. All of these things are here in the Scripture, and I have mentioned to you before, and I will no doubt mention again before I'm through preaching. Not today, but another time. To keep letting you know that these things are there and you've got them. And you will have an inclination or a bent, not a drive. Not a drive. But I'll tell you something. As Paul had, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And every fivefold minister must have that or get out of the ministry. Don't think you got it or don't pretend you got it. If you haven't got it, I'm sorry. You qualify maybe as a deacon or an elder. But you got to put that above everything in the world. And you don't change horses in midstream. You stick it out. Now, I'm talking blunt because that's the way it is. I don't think we got anybody here that's out of line. But you may run across somebody sometime and wonder what's going on. I'm answering your question right now. Okay? So we don't have to worry about that. See, now you got a bent toward things. Okay. He said he'll do it with simplicity. Now, some will do some things with greater vigor than others. And you will become more and more proficient in the way you're going. So you know, you're making your calling and election sure. See, all of these things are in here. So what we're looking at then, as Brother Branham mentioned here, you can recognize your position in the Scripture, and that is, I am a believer, and I am functioning in the body of Christ like those members. I am going by a headship. I am being led as others are being led, and together there will be a presentation to God of a sweet incense and an odor of the sacrifice of our praise and what we wish and try to do for others because we have that inclination. See? Now you'll have a bent toward it. Now it won't be any big forceful thing. With Brother Branham as a word prophet, he was under that compulsion to prophesy. When I'm never under that compulsion if anything comes. It's just suddenly there it is and I say it. There's a big difference. You'll be doing the same thing. You won't necessarily have a compulsion. The difference might be between implicit and explicit. See? Force and motivation. Somebody grabbing you by the neck and make you do something. And yet, my brother and sister, when it comes to God, you will literally be grabbed by the neck and forced to do it, and you're not even recognizing it because there's a gentleness and a naturalness. See? But you're under God. In Him we live and move and have our being. See? Like the body operating together. See? And you know, it's... And look at... Let's put it this way. Like, these gifts, we don't have much in the church. We don't go for it. But... Because we're silent in our, how would you put it? We're a little bit recessive in our approach. We go for gifts and walk backward, looking to see if something might be, you know, coming. But you know those gifts could be amongst us. You know why? The eye is an eye gate. Optic nerve goes to the brain, which is a mass of tissue. And in there is the mind, which is in the spirit. And that spirit put life in our body. Body life, not soul. Soul, the little germ had to have a theophany, a soul around it, to come in then through a body that had to be out here. In order to have a spirit, to work together, watching that man in there. All right. But let's just bring it to the physical. Okay, I got my life in me then, and I'm intelligent. And my eye sees a snake. Right away, it tells the adrenal, out of here. Bang. Oh, you talk about speed. You thought you could run, but you never knew you'd run like that. You didn't know you could make, you see? Now, I'll tell you something. Inside, without that eye, does not know that. Because, you know, that cobra or that rattler could be sitting right there, and if you didn't see it, unless you have a warning innately, or some sixth sense tells you, You don't. I was down in Florida many years ago preaching. There's scorpions down there. You know, they hold their sting really back. You know, ooh, dear. Ugly looking things. Like cans of the crap. I was praying for sick one night. And just as sure as I stand there, I kid you not, and I tell you the truth. My eyes were closed. And suddenly I knew, like something walked between my 2 feet. A scorpion. It wouldn't hurt, because, you know, you have to sting me first. And a little ammonia would get rid of it. But you know what? That's right, it was doing it. Sixth sense. Face. Round. Operating the spirit. All right. Recognition, then, that I am a believer, and I am in this category. All right. He that giveth, doing it simply. Not knowing left, not letting left know from right. He that ruleth, diligently. Shows mercy, cheerful. Oh, happy to forgive.
How are you this time?
That's more like me, Vail. She's more like my wife. She just, I don't have to even ask for forgiveness. She knows what I like, of course. That's the way the Lord is, too. We're already forgiven, nor we're going to blunder. Okay. Now let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor the evil. Cleave to the good. Be kindly affectionate one another with brother love. Not male and female. Brother love. In honor preferring one another. See? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you learn to honor, prefer, God will bless you. And I tell you, woe betide the person who defiles it. I could tell you things this morning. I've told you too many things already, so I'm going to tell you more. But I know what I'm talking about here. And if you don't think I'm knowing, you're wrong. Because I know. I've lived through it. And I haven't taken half of it to where I should have taken it. Because these are commands. So Brother Branham said, now look, you know your position has been authenticated to you by my ministry. You are believers. And Latter Rain says, well, look at that. What part am I in the body? And so they had us prophesying over big long strings. You're this, you're this. And 99% was hogwash. Just wishful thinking. Yeah, I don't care what your penny cost you come out of, isn't it? Let me tell you flat. Get out of it. Get out of it 100%. Have nothing to do with it. The same as you'd shun the Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, or anything else. You got to have your minds renewed in this message. You have been already authenticated. The white throne for all intents and purposes is past. You've been judged. At the same time the world is. These are hard things to assimilate. Sure. Very hard. I'm trying to get across this morning. I hit these things so hard, you might think that, you know, I'm looking down my nose at you. For taking a rough stand, you've got to take a hard stand too. No, I'm trying to get across where it sinks in our being. We just know that we know, and this is it. Look, this is the Bible. Why don't I go chew it up and change it? That's zinnias. Those are dahlias and larkspur and what have you. Snapdragon, beg your pardon. That's an orange. What am I supposed to do? Change it? I live knowing it. It's a part of my life. This also. I accept that as an organ. Yeah. I have no problem with that. I accept this as a picture on the wall. And I accept exactly what the picture is. Now you see, it's rougher to accept this and what it is than just this. Ha! The most of them never accept what that's all about. Now, it's easy to accept the organ, but to accept the organ as an instrument that I want to play, forget it. I can accept Brother Branham as the prophet, but trying to be William Branham, forget it. But I can sure live with it. And I'm happier living with it than having with myself, because I haven't got what it takes. You see where I'm trying to lead this morning? to this place of recognition. Look, I'm a believer. But Brother Bale, I blew it.
So you blew it.
I'm sorry for you. I blew it too. I get fed up with people, not like you. If I'd have known you years ago, we'd have had a good time. Because you got some compassion and some love. These other guys were, forget it. They didn't have a clue. Well, if anybody had a clue, hardly. So I said, I'll quit. But you know, I had something they never had happen. They'd like to starve me to death, but God didn't. He made food come on my table just the same. Somebody else had a little love, a little compassion. Funny thing, the people that gave me the food too at that time brought it in over snowbound roads and all with the old sleigh and what have you, way back there in northern Canada, way up there. She always worried about me. She said, Brother Dale, she says, I fear for you because you've got a ministry, but I fear for you. She didn't know I was going to blow it, see. But she felt I would blow it. I blew it. But, see, God brought me back. You think I'd quit now? There's no way to quit. See, what are they going to crucify you? That's not a nice thought. But I'm going to tell you something. He gave us grace. And if he didn't give grace for whatever's going to come, he's done it so far, who said he's going to quit? So the prophet stood there with all of this to let us know we are positioned, and he said it's a natural ministry, so to speak, each one of us would have. So where you're being called, just move that way. And you know, Paul said if God wants something else for you, he'll show you that too. It's right here in Corinthians. Not in Romans, not Corinthians. So all right. Now, see, you've got to recognize your position as Jesus recognized his. See? Believe and accept what he did for us and what he says about it. And us. If you can agree that Jesus had to accept his, why did he do it? Why did William Branham? Because there's your parallel. Because he wants us to accept what he says about us and that position. And then obey him where there is something to be obedient. But remember, the obedience of faith is the number one important thing. You believe what God has done and said in this day concerning you. Then you can go from there. And remember, he's not trying to make your life difficult. He's not trying to give you great big gifts. He's not trying to give you a great big ministry. He's talking about a body. And this body of mine and your body is the living example. And as that life in there can direct the eyes, and the eyes can apprehend, and the mind can comprehend, and the ear can apprehend, and the mind can comprehend, doing the body good, so we can as a church. We can determine this morning by our faith in Christ, which is a mutual faith, to live not only godly in Christ Jesus as individual, Brother Branham said, you and God alone in that kingdom, but with each other. Not striving in any other way, but our striving is the pulling together and honor, preferring, and helping each other. Personally, I don't care what anybody here has done. You haven't done any worse than anybody else has done. You ain't going to either. The thing is, like Brother Branham, we'll talk about this right in the future. We're not going to get to it today. Yeah, we are. We're lucky. We might just have time. Talk about repentance. Making things right. Turnover. Okay. Recognizing. We have to recognize that we are stuck with. Abiding in. The word that says, we have become the righteousness of God. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to accept it or not? Are you going to accept the fact that that's what God says? And you accept the fact also that God accepts us on the terms and demands it? Without faith, we cannot please God. We give back to him that recognition. All the way through, Brother Branham is hitting us with scripture recognition. Scripture recognition is God recognition. And God recognition means everything. All right, here you're falling out. This is a major principle of faith. recognition. I am a believer, therefore I believe. I have what it takes. 95, is it not written that Christ shall come and what Christ, all Christ should do? He said to Cleopas, now notice he takes us into the resurrection. And then that morning, isn't it written in the scripture that he must suffer and then be killed and raised the third day? Why are you slow in understanding? Now, let's look at this a little bit. Here, this is written here. Now, Brother Branham, in this case, is referring to what was written to Jesus. And, of course, there is something also written concerning him. Now, referring to the fact that the ministry of Jesus Christ returned to earth here in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, using a prophet, William Branham, explaining and paralleling this very hour that Jesus was risen from the dead, and that Brother Branham always said, if he's risen from the dead, he'll do the same as he did. That's part of it. There's more than that. What is written concerning you and me? Let's take a look at this now. Here again, we're bouncing back and forth on the thought of simple faith to get things from God, and this great faith which we have in God, the faith delivered to the saints once and for all, but is coming to fruition now. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. On what condition? The mind has been liberated. The spirit and soul are in harmony now with what is going on. So, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of the Lord. Now, what is this he's talking about? He's talking about the transfiguration that is going on in this hour, which we mentioned the other day reading to you, that you become the Word of God by simply receiving the Word of God. Now, that's tough. Now, you know as well as I do that that's something that you're glad to grab onto, because it opens the door to a specific grace that comes upon you, not because you even asked for it, but God wanted to give it to you. You become the Word of God by simply receiving it. Brother Branham said, you become the Word of God in your flesh, not the place, by receiving it. He himself said the prophet was the living Word of God made manifest. You cannot find that in any theological book under God's high heaven, unless Paul had something we don't know about. Or Irenaeus. And I've got his works, and I don't think he said there either. Either Polycarp or any of them. Justin Martyr, none of them. Find all this. Go back to the Ante-Nicene. You can't find anything. Maybe something here we're not aware of. This is something that is entirely different. And he's telling you exactly how the resurrection is going to take place, contingent to the bride that is living and standing here. And he said it is going to take this message presented to a people before the dead can come out of the ground. This message has to come at the time of the appearing according to 1 Corinthians 15. We've gone over it many, many times. So what we're looking at it then here, he's telling us, what's he telling us? That Jesus Christ himself had to tell the apostles what scripture was fulfilled and what impact it had on them. And the harmonizing of the entire scripture. Christ harmonized the entire scripture and placed the entire scripture for that hour. And the people had a revelation of it. And you know what that brought them to? That brought them to bride status, where they could come right and receive the Holy Ghost and be placed the way God wanted them to be placed. All right. So, This brings us to Romans 8, which I read to you already. But notice, what it also brings us to, what you've been doing here in this church for some time, it seems not too many people believe the way we believe, but that's perfectly okay by me. Everybody has his own church. Some can't make it work. It seems our church can make it work. Chapter 3, verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake it often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now they're not talking to God, they're talking to each other. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And at that time you shall return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. And the righteous and wicked. Between him that serves God and him that doesn't. It says at the time that you're talking in a manner to each other that is pleasing to God, that has to be restored word. Because Brother Brown said, you ain't got a thought coming. That says they're bride people. And they're chewing bride food. I'll show you later on, Brother Brown said, bride food. I'm going to tell you something. I've preached this for years. 1977 and prior to that, you cannot find one place I've made a mistake. And you're not going to. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the truth. I stand on it. There's no way I can have a spirit of prophecy testimony to Jesus Christ and then this thing's going to louse up. Every place it shows. This message is cohesive, coordinated. And we are one or we are not one. We're one. See? Now, he said, why are you so slow of understanding? In other words, the judging word is swept through and people couldn't figure which side they're going to get on, God's or otherwise. It's not whose side God's on, it's whose side you on. But you're on God's side, see? All right. Now, the impact of verse 95 here is, again, stick with the word. Don't move from it. Christ didn't. That faith of Abraham came to perfection under Jesus our Lord. 96. And they thought, my, this man speaks a little different from other men. Why do you think Brother Branham put that in there? For his own ministry. More than somebody, more than Christ. This man speaks a little different from other men. Why? Because Brother Branham was a prophet like Christ and like John and Moses who could, in the power of God, demonstrate that they were the spokesman for God, vindicated so, then explain it and adapt it to them. Nobody else could do it. Now you show me anybody today can do what that man did in the power of the Holy Ghost. And if he can do it, I'll tell you something. I'll go and listen for 5 minutes. You say, why do you say that? Because that's the original. Who needs a counterfeit? You go snorting around the country. Well, they said, bless God, Moses is pretty good, but we got a few more rabbits in our bunch over here. We'll pull a few out and take Moses off the scene. Yeah, good, go ahead. And they died for it. And Israel thought they were so smart killing Jesus, and Jerusalem fell, and thousands of blood fell like water in the streets. And they followed Brother Branham. And they're fattening up for the slaughter. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. I either believe this or I don't believe it. Thinking they coming in the car, just driving over. What's the matter? Am I getting too hard-hearted? What I'm thinking of all these guys are going to perish. Shouldn't I be crying or something? The prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah took an inkhorn and he put a mark on every one. How many marks did he have sighing and crying over sin? How deep in his sorrow did Daniel go the night he condemned Belshazzar? Well, he should have ripped his garments and put on sackcloth and ashes and said, no, king, no, no, no. He let the king put the robes on and the golden chain and put him in the over kingdom that didn't exist anymore. Go ahead, that's you wanted to go ahead. I thought when all these things happened, we were to look up and rejoice the redemption drew nigh. I'm not bloodthirsty. I want to tell you something. Cain couldn't repent. And he didn't. He hated his body. I want to tell you something. Jacob had a brother called Esau, and he wept bitterly. He could have been foolish virgin, but I can tell you, Cain sure wasn't. There's something missing with people that are going to die at that weight, John. You better believe it, brother, sister. You don't know your Bible. Jesus said to those Pharisees, he said, you're a children of devil. He said, you're serpents. He said, you ain't got a thing that's going to take my word. Now, they're going to leave here the shape they left in. They're going to be there in the shape they left in. He had no use for it then. Are they going to have use then? Well, think of Cain. God said, look, Abel illustrated, he showed you what it's all about. Ha! Fool you on that, he said, and walked off. Here I got an idea, something. I got an idea at the white throne. It's going to be as the Bible said, hide us from the face of the land. They're going to say, let's get it over with. We didn't want in the first place, evidently can't have an house. You see, we want to think in our minds, well, we heard a lot of theologians say, when they look on this, and they're going to say, oh, look what I missed. I don't know one scripture for that. But I know the bride and the saints are going to look upon Satan narrowly and say, huh? Was this what made me tremble? Oh, boy. Was I fooled by that? Gee. You find your Bible and show me wrong. Not trying to be hard, the bloodsucker, something there, some kind of vampire. It's just the truth here. What are we doing? Are we believing God or not believing God? This man speaks a little different. Come to find out when they got to the inn, it was he. See, their eyes were withholding from him. See, they knew that he kept leaning to that scripture, and they knew it was he. All right? Let's look at that. Now, we know that John brought understanding. We read it. So did Jesus, and so now. This is a revelation that Brother Branham brought us that contains our faith. He spoke different. His word is still different today. You can't change it, but it's the word that counts. Now, you'll notice back in the time of Jesus here, and this is in his resurrection, there was nobody there to hear him but bride. He never appeared to anybody else. Well, the 500 saw him, but they would have to be brides that came in. So only the apostles saw him. So, in this hour, only a true bride is going to go for this message. And when William Branham comes back, and he will be back, he's got to be back, last down or first up, each messenger with his own age, making presentation. There's no doubt in my mind he will follow the steps of Jesus Christ and make himself known to us only. There'll be nobody else. So, don't ever sell this business because people, as I said last Wednesday and Sunday, because people are all the time looking down the road and saying, well, if you don't, your Brother Branham's got to come back. Sure, he's got to come back. But when they try to tell you everything he's going to do and just how it's going to be, they've gone too far. You better wait till that hour. This is the furthest you can go because we've got scripture that Jesus was seen of the apostles. And he was seen of some others too. He'd have to be elected of some kind. Whether the foolish virgin, whatever it is, I don't know. But you've got to keep your scripture where it is. Right? Everything must follow in line. Now, we're going to 97. Now, you must believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. In other words, I positively am a believer, and therefore I am a receiver. You cannot say I am a believer, then knock out the receiver. Now what I'm trying to show you, Brother Branham was trying to lead us to the place where believing was receiving. That the emphasis on believing had to be correlated with identical emphasis on receiving. Because unless you are convinced that you are a receiver, as much as you are a believer, you cannot get what you're asking for. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, that's what you're looking at. All right. You must now believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. That's your position. Heir to the promises. Recognize that these things are for you. See? You and your sonship, as a believer, they're mine. I claim them. I want to receive them, and I will receive them. See, all right. Now, many people, of course, have doubts, and Daddy Bosworth said, don't doubt. He said, don't ever doubt your faith. If you must doubt your doubts, you're unreliable. And these promises are all reliable, every single one are given to God. Now, in other words, Brother Branham is bringing out this truth. You must believe what you ask for. In other words, do you really believe it? To the extent of going after it, till you get it. That is Mark 11, 22 to 24. You believe in your heart and stick with it. Stay with it. The word must abide there. You must stick with the word, and the word stick with you, and just hold on until it comes. In other words, a process of building up your faith day by day as you look for the answer. In fact, many years ago, I made a little proposition to the people. I said, I don't believe any one of us has a right to go to God and ask for anything unless we're prepared to believe for it and stick and get it. In other words, don't waste your time going to God, making a fool out of yourself and trying to make a fool out of God by just saying, hey, I kind of wish this would happen, but I won't really think it would, but maybe I can sort of do something about it. No, you got to just say, hey, I am not going to ask unless I am prepared to receive it. And it may take me a while to get it, but I must be prepared. See, the continuity of faith. We'll talk about that in the trial of faith later on. We won't get past this page, so it's all right. Now watch what he says here. If there's condemnation in your life, straighten that first. See, if you've got condemnation in your life, it must be dealt with. Or you might have Oral Roberts or a dozen more people who have faith to come here and pray over you, jump up and down, pour it on you by the gallons, but it won't move. That's right. What falls off from Oral's meetings to that? I checked him in the prayer line. You hear him say that he was prayed for before. And I would say, a man with dark hair, kind of big fella, big jaw, that's Oral Roberts, see? And that was at a certain city called a certain thing. Yes, that's right, see? You were prayed for by such and such a man, see? Like that. But here is your trouble, see? Go and make that thing right. Go out there and confess that sin to your husband, to your wife. Go do this thing. It'll never do you any good, no matter who prayed for you, until you make that right. Condemnation, if condemnation's in your heart, God will not come into that heart condemned. In other words, God can't move on a heart that's condemned. You see, why? Because how can you have faith that God's going to do some good thing for you when you know God's displeased with you? A little child knows better than that. See, God doesn't dwell in that. He won't work with that. See, you've got to make that right. Then when you do, you must have faith. Now, I like what he said there. Then when you do that, you must have faith. It's faith to do it. And it's also, you still got to use your faith. Don't say, well, hey, I did that, so therefore, I've got it. It doesn't necessarily work that way. Barnum. Byron. Old Byron. Gospel trumpet. Way back in the old Indiana bunch, Church of God. God spoke to his heart one day, and a friend he worked with, another man, very wonderful man of God. And the Lord said, you have a gift of healing. So he said, hey, that's great. So we better prove it. They took a tent on the road, said, I got a gift of healing. So he prayed for everybody, nobody got better. Well, he said, bless God, I still got a gift of healing. I like that old boy. He had what it takes. And so he just plugged along, and they began getting healed just like that. All right, one time this old fella gets sick. Well, he knew what to do. He sought the Lord, wasn't getting anywhere. He searched his heart, everywhere, as a fine comb, confessed every single thing in his life. Got it all straightened out. He's still lying there dying. And he said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, here, I've done what you said. I've been a faithful preacher. I confessed every sin, everything under the blood, made everything right. And I'm dying. And the boy said, yes, and you will die unless you get out of bed and answer your faith. So he, grunting and groaning, miserable, hard, getting out of bed, finally got one leg over, trying to get sitting up a little bit, reaching down, getting his trousers, laboriously pulling them on, dressing himself completely, finding him staggering around. No time he was 100%. Never got sick again as long as he lived. Only had one more day of trouble. So Brother Branham was telling you the truth here. Now look, not just because this happened to Pirate. I'm illustrating and telling you what these things are like, see? How they do it. See, don't be afraid. Now let's go to 1 John there, and let's take a look at 1 John and get this old sin question out of the way once and for all. No big deal, really. Like as I said, look, suppose you're dying of cancer. You really had problems. And you're wasting away here. And you knew that you could exercise your faith on the grounds that you confessed that sin. Tell me, what sin is too big that you've done that you just couldn't go make that thing right? Why do you say, I think I'd sooner die with mine? Well, that's just what's going to happen to you. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's going to be. 1 John 1, 9. First one chapter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, though nobody else will. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody sits back and doesn't think it's done. You're still a dirty dog. That was a good one. I said that just right, didn't I? You know why? Because we're prone to be that way. We're prone to be judgmental. Well, I say, bless God if he's really forgiven. I'll see to it that he suffers to make sure he knows. Hallelujah. You know, they did that in that Pentecostal church in 1 Corinthians. And this guy was doing, he wasn't doing as naughty as you think because he didn't have his mother incest. It was no doubt a young woman that his father had married. Well, she preferred young men, which is sensible. So therefore, they were having lots of intercourse illegally. And so Paul said, what is this, you Berkeley, in that in your church? Turn him over to Satan if he doesn't clear up. The kid wouldn't. So they turned him over. And they got so happy that they turned him over, watching him suffer, didn't want to bring him back in and make him happy when he repented. Oh, I love human nature. It stinks. Gee, yuck. Always want to make a big thing of everything except the grace of God and the love of God and restoration and all these things. That's why people can't take this message of restoration, because they're looking for big gifts and things and big hurrahs out there. Brother Branham said, take the message for your healing. Get with it. Let it get with you. Stick with each other. Watch it happen. My little children, these things are right unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ. Thank God, not the church. The Roman Catholic Church, we have an advocate with the Father, even the Pope in their Holy Roman Empire. And they are the ones that will propitiate your sins by getting money out of you for a grease can and a few more things, or putting peas in your shoes and walking on your elbows and knees like Luther. Is that the way the Bible reads? Then how come we read it? Maliciously. You know something? Let me tell you something. We have been so legal and judgmental for so long, we cannot take these scriptures today the way we should. We got to see. In first. You know what the in first are? They get in first. You get in for people whether they deserve it or not, and we have a right to or not. Got a bad case of the get in first. Get in first. Get in first. The three-syllable word. You got a bad disease there, brother, sister. We have. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm just telling what's going on in the world, what's in church. We got to do it. See, now look here. Little children, these things are right if you sin not. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Takes a long time for people to get to a place where they can really forget anything. I admit it. But you know what? If you do it yourself, you're mighty happy. You know Bruce Clibbering? He's the fellow Brother Bannon talks about. We'll quit here at this point. He talked about him all the time, Bruce Clibbering. I met him one time. Fantastic person. He's the one that wrote the words to Down From His Glory, O Solomio, the song, you know. Played the violin. Tremendous. Everyone Evangeline Booth's children were geniuses. And he was a genius. Preached seven languages. He's the guy that crippled those Church of Christ guys over the Hebrew and Greek. He just demolished them. So Brother Branham began to feel terribly sorry for this infidel. That's what they were. Maybe they got converted later. But anyway, great old man. And here's one of his favorite sayings, though I don't know its original. He would say to the self-righteous person sitting there, look, you say you don't need God because you've lived a good life, then get out there and sin. And sin until you can come back and admit that you're a sinner.
True.
You know, the old Nicolaitans were supposed to have been a group of people that said you can't know forgiveness until you've sinned every sin. Oh, boy. Right between the eyes. The sawed-off shotgun. And you think of the rest of it. No, that's not it. But here's the thing about this verse we've got to be careful with. To really forgive people and restore them, knowing that we also can fall, and already having judged somebody when we should have been there to restore them and let it go with that. Our judgment and our sin could be a whole lot worse. I remember years ago, I went through a little corner of a battle in church back and down in Florida. And I found the people there were more anxious to crucify this woman before she did anything because they knew she was going to do it. I won't tell you the whole story. I think they were partly right. The church got into a mess over it, and I found they weren't interested in restoring, they were interested in crucifying. So when they pulled the same thing, because I was there, I got into it, I think, like a jerk. Didn't pray hard enough. So when he came to the Baptist church, the last church I pastored, till now, 14 miles west of Lima, they came to me about a certain woman, and I said, fine. We will do this the instant that you want to restore her rather than shed her blood. I said, in the meantime, I'm not interested because you've got an axe to grind. And that's true. Now, I think this woman had done everything in the book, maybe except commit adultery. And she was so self-righteous and stunk with it. I didn't tell her, but my inward advice was this. I wish she would commit adultery. Come back and find some grace. Now, you know what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting anybody commit adultery. I'm not suggesting anybody kill anybody. I'm not suggesting you rob or tell lies or one single solitary thing. But if you think, and I think, do we have any right to judge anybody concerning the grace of God, we better hear what Brother Branham said, because he said, if you take it out from under the blood, if that person's really put it there, then you're guilty. Repentance is simply repentance. What can you and I do except take people by their word and testimony? They look at his mommy, I won't do it again. Look at Brother Branham. Talk about a pushover. Joseph getting Mr. and poor meeting her straight to scream and go out of her mind. Brother Bill, you've got to do something about this boy. Joseph. Daddy, I won't do that. I'm sorry. So Brother Brown cried worse than the kid crying. Joe would know he's going to go out and do it over again. Meaning he would know too. Then Bill didn't face Bill because he loved the boy. That's the way God is. You think that God didn't know that Adam was going to sin? He said, she's going to be your downfall? No, I'm not a champion of sin. I'm just saying, look, you tell me that your flesh isn't dust. And I will tell you, my flesh came out of the manure heap. Came out of the mortuary. The tomb. The dump yard. I think I was hatched from a rotten egg. If you're honest, you'll admit the same thing. See? Pot, kettle, the, you know, pot calling the kettle black, vice versa. So look at, we see. What I want you to know is this. Look, we've all done things we shouldn't do. I tell you, I was in my deepest despair even over things that I thought I'd done were basically a whole lot worse off in my mind than they could have been done physically. The devil can attack you anyway to get down with sickness. But I'll tell you, riding in that car, depressed as I was, at Harold Marconda driving, the sickness and the mental torture and the hell I was going through physically, you don't know till you get there. And in there, like a voice said, I'll see you through, and I've been banking on it. When hands are laid on you by the elders, it says, ye shall, and any sins shall be forgiven. That's why it's necessary to use the word of God. And forgiven is forgiven. And that's, I want this church to know that this, what this pulpit stands on, at least this morning, before Almighty God as my witness, I'm telling you the truth. If I leave here and go back on my word, this is still the word of God. Lee Vail's word never was any good anyway, and his promises weren't worth a hoop. But his is different. Let every man's word be alive but mine. So you see, the door is open for anyone to use faith and to be natural in his Christian life. To know that in him he lives and moves and have our being. That there's hope for us and there's hope for all of us. The Bible says everyone that names the name of Jesus, we've got a special attachment to that name as no other group under high heaven. Let him depart from sin. I want to depart from sin. I say, Lord God, don't let sin have anything to do with me and me have anything to do with sin. I know sure as I'm standing here the day I'm transformed, I'm going to have problems with it. And I'll be doing bad things to it, and it'll be with it, and it'll be doing bad things to me. I know that. I'm not a fool any more than you're a fool. Let me tell you something. We can grow in grace, and we can do better, and we can learn, and we can apply ourselves to the wisdom of just getting away from this stuff. Apply a little bit of love. Love ourselves in the love of God. Love our brothers in the love of God. And build up in him. You know, look here. Let's look at the marriage and divorce question. You know that I don't fuss at any of you. Some of you are married and divorced. Married again. Yeah, I don't fuss at you, and I never will fuss at you. If you feel you've got the will of God, I'll take that for it. You answer to God. But I'll treat you as my brother and sister, and you're no less in my life than anybody else. And if you show a good spirit, well, you could be further ahead than some folks that may sit around sour. I'm married, but you're wishing you weren't. I wish I'd have got married 5 years before I did. I married at 25. I should have got married at 6 years, 19. Yeah. I was ready. I was saved and ready to go preaching the gospel. Amen. That's right. Lovely people. Love you. Come back. Bring your friends with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, your kindness that you show us, the consideration, Lord, that you weave into our lives when we are inconsiderate ourselves and judging ourselves less than the grace of God. Help us this morning to be melted, to know what true love is, Lord, real true love, which is love, word love, which is God. And know it, Lord, by something working within us on these lines. We just bless your name, Lord, for the wonderful time we've had together, brothers and sisters, looking to you, Father, looking to each other. And we know that there's nothing on earth sweeter than the fellowship of saints. And there's nothing greater in all the world than your people getting together, either hearing your word or talking it back and forth, and you listening and you being the approving Father, saying, these are my jewels. I'm going to spare them. At the end time, their hearts are turned back. They are the ones that know the difference between righteousness and wickedness. Righteous and unrighteous, those that serve and those who don't. And they just go on talking to each other. And we know, Lord, that if we're going to be talking to each other, it means we've got open communication. And Father, we know that if the talk got obstreperous, there soon wouldn't be any communication. So we know this is a happy people who love you, love your word, love each other, and have communication going down the road, satisfied and happy with the ministry, ministers, and with what they can do themselves as their ministers, ministering whatever you gave each one together. Father, we know that that's wonderful just to even think about it, and it's marvelous to know that we actually have it, and it's going and growing, and one day, Lord God in heaven, everything is just going to be perfect because these lovely people here, we all know we've sinned. One day we'll sin no more. Not a feeling, not an urge, not an anything. Changed in the twinkling of an eye. Caught up to meet the Lord in the air to the wedding supper. Father, then we'll say, worth it all? Why? There's nothing we went through means anything. Then one day that's all forgotten.
Lord God, what could we ask? Nothing. Nothing. We know, Lord, perfection has come. It's all come down upon us, O God, and we admit it. Help us, Lord, as you in your resurrection turned those people, those disciples, to your words and filled them so full of the Holy Ghost. It was just like a boat going down the river on a full stream. Nothing could stop it. Heading for the wide ocean open to God. And they made it. And now, Lord, today we've got that river, waters to take us over. May we recognize it, realize it, Lord. And may there not one of us ever, oh God, this is a tough one I know because it's a thing the prophet despaired about, but or at least he worried about. May not one of us ever hold anything more important than this word. But take time. Let it be our life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Next Saturday, 7 o'clock. Lord, take the name of Jesus with you.